days are long, and the weeks are getting longer. It's the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions, sponsored by the coronavirus, keeping you locked in so you listen to this shitty podcast. I'm your host, Sean. Danny, how are you, man?
You know, I've been thinking, Sean, I think we're like the heroes that the people need. Like, we've been practicing social distancing before it was cool. we've been practicing social distancing so much that you decided that even living in Ohio was too close to me, so you moved to Jersey to get even further away from me.
Exactly. How much further can I go? I mean, I think I have to move up to Maine at this point.
Right. There might be islands off the coast of, like, Nova Scotia or something like that you can go to. But then you wouldn't be an American anymore. You'd be a damn Canadian.
I'm going to go to Iceland.
Exactly.
Don't go there. There's a lot of ice.
But then if you go too far, then you're heading on your way back.
Yeah, at some point I'm getting closer again.
Yes. You're like, I have gone so far away from you that I'm getting closer.
Oh, man. It is, the lockdown is getting serious these days.
Yeah, like, you know, as someone who has an essential job, I'm kind of jealous of the people that don't have essential jobs that get to, like, either work from home or just, I don't know, stay home.
As long as they're getting paid, that's the key word.
Right. And that's where, like, it's like, because if I was a non-essential employee and stayed home and had to, like, collect unemployment, then that would suck, and I would wish that I had an essential job. So, You know, so, but my job decided to fulfill its promise of making sure that they're keeping the workplace safe and clean. Mm-hmm. So they went ahead and they gave us an extra thing of soap in our bathrooms. But they didn't install it to the wall like a soap dispenser. They just chained it in the sink.
Was this jail?
Well, I mean, one of our bathrooms does have a prison toilet.
Oh, nice.
Because somebody broke it, and then they fixed it, and then they broke it, and then they fixed it, and then they broke it, and then they fixed it, and they just put in a mail. The last time they fixed it, they put in a prison, like, a metal prison toilet. Like, break that one, fucker.
You get what you fucking deserve.
Right, and I was talking to somebody, and they knew, like, they were, like, in the department that dealt with that at the time, and they had a security guard in the office next to it that was supposed to listen to hear when the toilet broke. Mm-hmm. And at the point, apparently the security guard twice got bored and fell asleep when the toilet was broken.
They probably went by and go, oh, he's sleeping, let's break it now.
Either that, or my theory is it might have been the security guard. No one suspects the guy paid to guard it.
Exactly. They could just be creepers and just post cameras in there. That won't get anybody in trouble.
Not at all. I've seen enough Hallmark movies to know that that's probably not a good idea. Not Lifetime.
Fair enough.
Yeah, there was one, I was watching part of it, and the lady moved in, and of course the neighbor seemed nice. He was a little quiet. You know, they always make the neighbor live up to, like, the ultimate, like, serial killer, like, quote, where it's like, oh yeah, he was such a nice guy, but he stayed to himself and was kind of quiet.
And then there's us just, you know, trying to relax, play video games, and people are like, you're the serial killer.
Exactly.
No, I want your kids away from me. I want you to leave me alone. I just want to play my video games, man. Leave me alone.
Exactly. And so one day, of course, she was taking a shower and just happened to notice that there was a camera installed above her shower head.
Of course.
And then there was one in the toilet and all this stuff. And it's like, dude, like, when did the guy go there? And, like, you wouldn't notice that, like, something was, I don't know. It's just, like the Family Guy had an episode where it was like, so one of them was watching Lifetime, and, like, when they advertised the channel, it was Lifetime, television for idiots.
Oh, man. So, Danny, did you do I don't know if you're facing these issues, but in Pennsylvania, basically the liquor stores are controlled by the government, and they're like state stores. And so Those are deemed non-essential. So they started shutting down all the places to get alcohol in Pennsylvania. So everybody freaked out and was buying everything that they could before it closed down. I don't know if you're having any kind of issues with your beverages.
No, no. Like La Bodega the night the governor out here kind of said, it went from like a strong suggestion to pretty much like mandatory of like non-essential businesses close. La Bodega was like, we're not sure if we're going to be open tomorrow, but we'll keep you posted. And so later that night they posted, it's like, we've been in contact with all the proper agencies and we can stay open. We just have to follow like certain rules. And one of them is they had to like, where you wait in line to purchase your alcohol. They put like markers where everybody had to stand. Like the next person in line had to stand so that they were like 6 feet apart from each other.
Jeez. I wonder if they had to put like the line outside. Like you can't even come in right now. Stay outside.
Probably. I wouldn't doubt it. But I don't know, man. Like it's weird. Like I was driving around yesterday because I ended up going into work for some OT because we're a little busy. I don't know about you, but
oh, trust me, we're super busy, man. Volume is up, call offs are up. It's a great time.
Oh yes. And so, but when I was driving home, normally the streets are a little quiet, like because it was still kind of early Saturday morning. But dude, the streets were more crowded than it was almost as crowded as it was like on a weekday.
Dude, everybody's probably trying to get to the store when it opens up at like 7, 8 a.m. now due to their new hours.
Yes. Oh, man. And I saw a picture on Reddit somebody posted. It was like a beach in Australia, and they had like the access point chained off and a sign that said, the beach is closed, stay away. And, of course, it was full of people.
Yeah, that makes sense. This chain can't stop me. I go where I want.
Right. And it's like a thing of, look, right now everything's just like a strongly suggested because they're trusting us to be adults. But if you're going to make it so that we can't have nice things, then they're going to make it mandatory. Like,
there's no such thing as adults.
Exactly. There's just children of a certain age.
Exactly. So a lot of the bars around here have shut down, and so breweries are shutting down for the most part as well. But they're still doing you could still do bottle pickup. Like you could come in, grab stuff, and leave. And then even Forgotten Boardwalk even is basically telling people to order online, so that way they can just hand you your box of beer and you can be on your way. Like you don't even have to get out of your car.
Yeah, there are places. A lot of the places are doing phone-in orders where you don't have to, and you can just drive up and pick up your beer. But then the Bureau of Alcohol and Tobacco or whatever the division that's in charge of all the beer, like canning and all that stuff, they've really loosened the restrictions to help keep these places in business. Because in the past, you had to go through this whole procedure, get the name, get the label, and all that approved. Now they're just basically like, yeah, as long as it's a lid that they just can't like easily access. It's like a sealed lid that they can't access. Like you can't have like, it can't be a cup, like a to-go cup with a straw in it or something like that. You know,
I need my big gulp filled up with some stout, bro.
Right. Well, that's on you. Times are tough. You can crack open the can and put it in there then, but. And that's why, like, when you get crawlers from places, they have to, like, tape the lid because it's, quote-unquote, sealed. Yeah. And if you break the seal, then, like, people will notice. But, yeah, so – and then people – they're signing a petition for my job to get them to give us the $2 hazard pay that, like, a lot of grocery stores out here are starting to get.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow, yeah, that hasn't – I haven't heard that yet. We have basically, like – we're doing – So every morning, like, the maintenance team goes through and wipes down, like, all the MHE, like, before shift. And then we're, like, wiping down. And, like, every couple hours, they have to wipe down, like, high traffic areas. So we've, like, started propping doors open so people don't even have to touch a door. And then, like, the time clock gets, like, clean, like, every couple hours.
Dude, must be nice because, like, at UPS, they just basically have the same jackasses that were in charge of cleaning before, like, you know, bitter Teamsters that don't really give a shit, like, you know, employees that would stand around and brag that they would complain to their supervisors they don't for an hour that they don't have enough time to clean their area because it's too big. Meanwhile, they wasted an hour arguing with their supervisor that they didn't have time to clean their area because it was too big.
Pretty much.
Oh, man. Well, before we get too much further, Sean, what are you drinking?
I am drinking an impending descent. This is from the Troegs Brewery up in Pennsylvania. This is part of their Splinter series. So this is a stout brewed with vanilla bean and cocoa, aged in bourbon barrels. This is coming in at a high 11.8%. And it was, I already said bourbon barrels. So, yeah. So that's what I'm drinking.
Nice. So you're one of the people that rushed and panic bought in Pennsylvania before they all shut down?
No, man, I'm not. I don't live in that. I don't live in that Ben Franklin sympathizer state. I'm in the great state of New Jersey.
Yeah, yeah, but you work there, and so you have access to the pandemonium on your way home.
Yeah, people were telling me. So I had a day off on Wednesday because we were gonna go sightseeing before. But with everything going on, we ended up canceling that and just staying home. But, well, we didn't stay home. We went to a giant liquor, like, beer store. And so we stocked up on a bunch of different beer. So should have beer for, like, the next couple weeks.
Nice.
So, but this is a very smooth barrel-aged. The bourbon barrel is probably the most potent flavor. And I think the vanilla bean and cocoa just kind of are like a very, very side note kind of hint on the stout.
Yeah, I wonder if like you would have been able, if you would have let it sit for a while, like age in the bottle, if it would have mellowed out the barrel. But then you might have also mellowed out the vanilla bean, so it would have all been equal anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's actually, obviously if you don't like barrel-aged things, it's not good. But it is, I feel like it's a pretty smooth barrel-aged stout.
Nice. It's always nice when you get a good one, because sometimes it tastes like burning, to quote, you know, the great genius Ralph Wiggum.
Exactly. So, Danny, before the show, you told me that you're carrying two guns tonight.
Right. You know, I've been, like, drinking beer, but then, like, right on my eye line, I've been seeing this, like, almost empty bottle of Screwball whiskey. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna drink it today. I'm not going anywhere. It's Sunday. It's my day off. I'm gonna get fired like Craig. And so I ended up pouring me a glass of that. In addition, and I figured it would go well with the beer I'm drinking. It's well, and plus I've also been realized that I've been drinking almost more East Coast beers than you have. Fair between enough. Fissel Brothers from Maine and Double Nickel. Like, I have another Double Nickel beer in the fridge, which is weird because I probably have almost as much Double Nickel, I've drank as much Double Nickel beer as you have recently.
Well, because you can get it, man. It's a new thing.
Right, especially because I bought, like, the couple weeks ago, I bought the 15-pack variety assortment beers. But, so today I'm drinking the Screwball is a San Diego-based distillery. And so this is, the beer I'm drinking is a collaboration between Fall Brewing and Dark Horse Coffee, which are also both based in San Diego. And it's called The Champ. And the logo on it is the back half of a horse, the torso of a boxer, and then the head is the logo of Dark Horse Brewing, which almost looks like the chess piece knight.
Hmm.
So it's just a mishmash. And it says, Dark Horse Coffee Roasters and Fall Brewing Company presents the greatest fight in history. The Champ, brewed with honey malt, flavored with cinnamon and vanilla, Dark Horse Coffee Milk Stout, a San Diego, California extravaganza. And it comes in, as much as they're hyping it up, it only comes in at 6%.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not bad. I don't really get too much of the vanilla. I get a lot of the cinnamon. And it's a little sweet, which would explain with the honey malt. But it's pretty easily drinkable. It's not it definitely doesn't have that, like you said, the harshness of the barrel.
Yeah. Hmm. Well,
it's almost like it almost tastes like when the brewery makes like a Mexican hot chocolate beer or a mole beer or something like that, something like that when they put a lot of cinnamon in it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I was listening to another podcast and they talked about that, about how a couple of them don't like when they put cinnamon in beer because it overpowers the flavor sometimes. And this one, it doesn't quite overpower, but it definitely is the more prominent flavor. But yeah, it's pretty good. I like. I've had a couple beers from Fall Brewing. I actually like them. I need to get down to San Diego because I think the last time we were down there was for your birthday.
A while ago.
A long time. It was like Stone Brewing's like 17th anniversary, and I think they're in the 20s somewhere, like almost 25 now. And like, you know, you had a friend. We had a friend hit rock bottom almost on that day, and it was just a shit show. And then, you know, we got drunk, and then like the kids asked my wife, you know, in an annoying way to take us to In-N-Out drunkenly. To which she obliged because she also wanted In-N-Out. So.
Yeah, I mean, that In-N-Out was pretty solid.
I mean, anything when you're that drunk is pretty solid. I mean, it's like, that's why those places are open late, because they know their market.
God, you know, I could just go through some carne asada fries right now.
I know. It's like, you know, there's that episode of The Simpsons where he's on his hunger strike, and he's like, I'm so hungry I can eat at Arby's. Mm-hmm. It's like, carne asada fries sound so good I can go to Alberto's.
I can't. I don't even. I've never seen anything so magical out here. Although I do have ramen, but I don't want ramen right now.
Some French fries and some carne asada with some pico de gallo and some sour cream and some guacamole, cheese, beans.
This hurts.
I know what I'm getting on my way home from work tomorrow. And I'll just pass out on the couch like a fat ass because there's like 4 pounds of food in there. It's like man versus food challenge without a priest t-shirt.
You're gonna take off your shirt
like Bert Kreischer the machine.
Just get, throw off your shirt and you'll be ready for eating mode.
Exactly. And put on my stretchy pants, my purple stretchy shorts that used to be pants.
Jeez.
That's an
sorry girls, he's off the market
because I'm the Incredible Hulk of bulk. Eating the Incredible Bulk. Exactly. I'm now I'm almost tempted to post a picture of me shirtless eating carne asada fries on our Instagram story tomorrow.
Oh boy, I can't wait. It'll
either attract listeners or lose us listeners, but either way it's a gamble I'm willing to take.
I mean, I feel like every day we're just throwing straws on the camel's back and it just won't break.
Right. Well, it's like that, like the old Looney Tunes cartoons where the person's doing the splits over the on two chairs over a fire, and it's like they're just throwing everything on top, like a piano, dressers, you know, all this stuff, and then at the very, 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 very end, a little feather comes and falls, and they it lands on it, and they all fall. We just haven't hit the feather yet. We're still at like the middle level where we're like pulling like the stuff, the bedroom furniture out and throwing it on there. We got a ways to go, Sean, I think.
Yeah, probably. You know, with how big Screwball is getting around the country, it's still surprising. Like they're not, I guess maybe they just don't want to do like a tap house or anything. I know it'd be a lot of work.
Right, and I had read some stuff that there was, like, behind-the-scenes issues of, like, someone's claiming that people stole their idea, but I don't know if anything ever came of that. And then there's this beer podcast I listened to called Malt Couture, and, like, the main guy that started it, he was, like, a beer reviewer for years, and he literally just this last episode mentioned Screwball Whiskey, but he had just finally heard of it, pretty much. And so,
yeah, because they've gotten distributed. Like, you could go. I was just around some of the bars around my work, because that's typically where I go drink sometimes after work. Just me and a couple of the guys go over. But I've seen Screwball, like, in hole in the wall places.
Right. And then when I went to the LA Galaxy game, I stopped by a couple of the major support groups. Tailgates, and a couple people had a couple different groups had Screwball on their table of assorted drinks. It was kind of nice to see it. That was my first time actually seeing like bottles of it in the wild. It was kind of cool.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised. I was like, damn, dude, like, I'm like, dude, it's like at a local like place out here. So just some shithole bar.
Right. It's pretty amazing though. I do a couple like drops of the coffee bitters to complement the coffee, and then a bunch of the chocolate bitters in there.
Yeah, that is pretty good. I wanted to come up with some like better shots do like peanut butter banana, peanut butter jelly and stuff, but I've just been that takes motivation.
Right. Well, I know they have like banana liqueurs, and I haven't tasted it yet, but I did find a banana infused whiskey. So I'll have to try that and see how that, if that tastes banana enough to go with the screwball. But, you know, at the beginning of the show, we were talking about all the essential and non-essential businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And when California issued its orders for all non-essential businesses to shut down,
mm-hmm.
of all businesses, the one that put up the biggest fight and, like, almost to the point of, like, a childish temper tantrum was GameStop.
Yeah, I heard that they weren't even, like, it was just, like, business as usual at GameStop. No extra precautions, no nothing.
Right. Well, no, but even after, like, the essential order, like, the mandatory closure of non-essential stores mm-hmm. came out, the CEO sent out a memo to all his stores, and it was basically, like, under this, we are basically self-categorizing ourselves as an essential store.
Yeah.
And if any authorities come to shut you down for being non-essential, show them this email and tell them to call corporate, and we will deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
And, but then in the internet, like all sorts of like stories on my Facebook feed popped out from every video game published writing review company or whatever of like, wait, what? Like GameStop isn't even essential in the best of times. Like, you know, like they, this last Friday they had both Doom and, Animal Crossing were supposed to come out the same day.
Yeah.
Which led to a lot of cool mashups. There's like a music video. It's like a minute long of like heavy metal, Doom Animal.
Yeah.
But anyways, so I guess GameStop decided to and got permission to release Doom a day early, and then on Thursday, so that they didn't have the crowd like too many people.
Mm-hmm.
And so a couple of people posted that they went on Thursday, picked up their pre-ordered copy of Doom, went home, opened the case of the game, and there wasn't a CD or it wasn't a disc in the game in the cartridge in the package. It was a card with a code with a download code on it.
Gotcha, good fuckers.
Right. It's like I want the physical copy. I bought a physical copy because I want a physical copy, and it's like, yeah, you got a physical copy of the case. And then people were posting on Reddit like on Friday, and it's like, here's the crowd that we just opened, and here's the crowd of people coming to pick up Animal Crossing, and the store was empty. And then a few other people said that, like, basically their store had already announced that it was, as soon as the Doom and Animal Crossing releases were done, they were going to shut down. And people were like, why didn't they just shut down before? And it was like, they probably couldn't afford to refund everybody's $5 for pre-order.
Probably.
But then on Friday, so that was on Thursday, like, night when that happened. It was pretty late, like, 8. It was like everybody probably would have been home, like, 8 o'clock or so. Thursday night when the order was issued, and then Friday morning GameStop reversed its decision, because I have a friend that works at a GameStop over by UCR, and he said that he was told that the store was closing.
Gotcha.
So, and then I found out part of the reason why people are like going crazy at the stores.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently there was a Facebook post that was going around saying that it was from someone in charge somewhere. I don't know who was the official that was quoted, but that grocery stores would be shutting down from anywhere from, like, a week to 18 months.
A grocery store?
Yes.
I doubt.
Right,
press exactly. Press X for doubt.
Press all the X's. Right, because even Italy, where it's, like, there was, like, literally nobody on the streets, they still could have went to, like, the pharmacy and the grocery store. So, like, it just shows you that gullible people will believe anything. And then you have people that were like supporting Trump and saying, or just conspiracy theorists this whole time saying it's a hoax. And now people on Facebook or on media, and social media are like saying, it's like, look, trying to blame people and saying who said what isn't going to solve anything. We just need to work together and move forward. And and especially on Facebook, it follows with the, if anybody doesn't agree with me, they can just unfriend me. All in caps. Cause they're angry because they realize they fucked up.
Oh boy.
But on the plus side, I guess, with this whole like shit show, Sean, is a lot of movie companies are starting to change their business model a little bit. And I don't know if it's going to be a temporary thing or not, but like with Frozen 2 being released 2 weeks on Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. It was like 3 months early on Disney Plus. They released that. So right now you can get that Disney movie Onward. It was like in theaters like a week or two before this all everything happened. Mm-hmm. But you can get it digitally right now. You can pay to watch it digitally, or if you wait until like the first week of April, you can watch it on Disney Plus. And then there's rumors that Wonder Woman 1984 is going to be released straight to digital instead of being pushed back. Like
that comes
all
out.
The Marvel Disney movies are.
Yeah, that comes out pretty soon, right?
I believe so. Yes, because I know the I think the Black Widow movie was supposed to come out first, but they just delayed that along with the X-Men movie that had been supposed to have come out like I don't know. Or like 8 years ago or something like that. I think like Maisie Williams was still like 11 when she filmed that movie.
True.
They were like, hey, who's this girl in the first season of Game of Thrones? We should put her in our movie. And then she grew up and got naked and got everybody mad because she was 18, and they're like, not my innocent little Maisie. She's too young to get naked. I don't know. But it'll be kind of cool if you don't have. It'll give you a reason. Definitely give you a reason not to leave the house. So you're not like the douchebags that are like Evangeline Lilly, basically posting that there's no reason to do social distancing and it's all another excuse for the government to control you.
Oh man! How dare the government? Is this going to kill the movie theaters?
It might. I don't know. There's still some people that like to go to the movies, but if it turns out to be profitable for the theater, for the studios to just release everything straight to streaming. Mm-hmm. I don't see the movie theater surviving, and I know it sucks, but that's what, you know, all the people out there that hate socialism and love capitalism. This is how it works, man. Like if you have an industry that doesn't work anymore, then it goes away. It's not because the millennials are killing it. It's just because technology has killed it. Oh, and also people are blaming the millennials for like going to, there's like a bunch of people still in spring break partying. And they're blaming the millennials, even though the millennials are all too old to be in college now.
Well, they could still be in college, but they're probably not doing that sort of shit.
Right. They're not like the 18 to they're not like the 21-year-olds in spring break. Like, I don't care, man. It's all about the partying. I don't care if I die tomorrow as long as I get to party today. Those aren't millennials, man. Those are the next generation, the Zoomers, as they call them.
The Zoomers. They're so terrible we made them we called them Boomers, but with a Z.
That's, yeah, at this point I think we're just getting lazy on the names.
Oh, man.
So, you know, since I've been home, you know, that's the other thing too. People have been posting stuff. It's like, yeah, I've been social distancing, you know, and I haven't had to change any of the routine in my life. Apparently, my life is sad and pathetic.
Yeah, I still go to work. I still play too many video games and watch too much anime and drink beer. I don't feel like my life has changed much.
Right, that's the same thing. I go to work, I come home, I take a nap, I watch a movie or play some video games, and then I go to bed and I wake up and go to work again. I mean, the only thing that like I've had to do was like I was supposed to go see a wrestling event. Actually, two wrestling events. One standard wrestling and then one leprechaun midget-themed wrestling. But those got canceled. So outside of that, nothing else has changed. So I think I'm kind of sad and pathetic too. Or I'm just okay with not being outside. So, this week I got a chance to watch Academy Award winning, multiple Academy Award winning movie, Parasite. Mm-hmm. Because it won for Best Foreign Language and Best Picture.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yes. So it's directed by the same guy that did the movie Snowpiercer with Chris Evans. That was like his first English movie. Mm-hmm. It's, you know what, like, whenever you have an Academy Award winning movie, it's not necessarily an entertaining movie, but it's going to be a well-made movie, right?
Yeah.
And so, this movie basically, it talks about, it starts off with this family that they're poor, and then when it's like a family of four, parents, son and daughter, and then the son, one of the son's friends shows up, and he's getting ready to go off to university, but he wants someone to come and like tutor this high school girl that he's been tutoring. But he, and he's like, why don't you get somebody from the college? And the guy's like, because I'm in love with her and I don't want any of these frat boys to try to like hit on her. And so then he goes and he gets a job there. And so for some, whatever reason, this movie was classified as like a horror movie, which I think probably turned a lot of people off, because I know you probably would see that it's a horror movie and not watch it because you don't like the scaries.
No. Although I do want to watch the X-Men one.
Yes. But that's just because you want to watch baby Maisie Williams again. You want to remember what she was like when she was a kid. you and Mike from Wisconsin. Both of you. Perverts.
Here we go.
But, I mean, there's a... I don't know. Like, this is one of those movies where you can't multitask. Not just because of the subtitles, but because there's a lot of, like, stuff going on. Does that make sense?
Yeah. That you,
but it's a good movie. It's basically a lot of his movies. Well, pretty much all of his movies are not so subtle takes on the whole haves versus have-nots. Because even like Snowpiercer, like it's basically everybody lives on a long train, and the further back you get, the poorer you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the, it starts off, and the movie is basically the people in the back have had enough of the rich people's bullshit, and so they're going to work their way up to the front of the train.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they're making they're supposed to be making a TV show out of it, which is going to be executive produced by the director. But I don't know if that's how that's the status of that show now that pretty much all of Hollywood's productions are getting canceled with the coronavirus.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to say. It's all downhill from here.
Right, and then I watched Frozen 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Ooh.
I think every movie that doesn't have a subtitle as a sequel should just automatically be subtitled Electric Boogaloo, because it works.
Batman.
Batman 2, Electric Boogaloo. Exactly. So, I was actually pleasantly surprised by how good this movie was.
Really?
Because... you know, they didn't go the... I think they learned their lesson from Cars 2.
Mm-hmm.
Where they were like, what did people love about Cars? And they're like, Mater. And they're like, awesome. Let's give Maynard, like, two-thirds of the movie and have only one-third of the movie focus on the star of the movie, Lightning McQueen. And the whole point of what the first movie was about.
Lightning McQueen!
Instead of, like, it being about, like, friendship and lessons learned and all that bullshit that the first one was about. It was about Maynard being an idiot spy and bumbling his way through things. And it's like, but that's just dumb. Like, make that one a short or something. So, like, it's pretty much widely agreed upon that, like, Cars 2 is Pixar's worst movie.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with character like Olaf, the snowman, Frozen 2 could have probably fallen down that trap too, you know?
Oh, probably. Everybody loves Olaf.
Right, and that's what I was worried about. I was worried that Olaf would be, like, in every scene and, like, just stealing the show or trying to or something, you know? And they did not do that. As a matter of fact, even with my fears of Olaf, like, being overused and trying to, like, steal the show,
mm-hmm.
probably the best scene in the movie, and then even the post-credit scene with him are probably two of the funniest – funniest scenes in the movie. By far. It's not even close. There's a scene where they run into a group of people that they hadn't run into before, and so he pantomimes and as he narrates basically the story of the first movie to them, so to fill them in on what's been going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hilarious. They didn't try to go overboard with the songs. It didn't seem like they, you know, like Let It Go was like super big and everyone's like, we have to have a Let It Go for this movie. It just seems like they understood that Let It Go was just a natural thing. They didn't, like, I don't even know if they picked that one to be the theme of the movie in a way.
Yeah. They didn't re-sing it in the second one?
Well, there's a part where she's, like, has a flashback and it shows up and she's kind of, like, almost like you would look at it like the awkward teenage photos or something like that. She was almost, like ashamed of it in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's since then. But yeah, no, they didn't like try to force like the next hit song. Like everything was just natural. The story was really good. It all made sense. I don't know. I actually like this one better than the first one.
Really?
Yes, and I went into it just almost like watching it with my wife, and just so that I could like say that I saw it.
I gotta do another movie review.
Pretty much, yes. And so, and plus I got to get my money out of Disney Plus at this point now too, right?
Oh, dude, I feel like it's already time to cancel. I'm like, I haven't picked it up since I finished
The Mandalorian.
Yeah, like, what am I doing?
I know they started filming the second season, but I think that's probably put on hold too.
We should probably cancel it until that season, until it shows back up.
No, dude, you got to watch Onward in 2 weeks when that comes out.
Maybe. Plus
you gotta watch all the reruns of Kim Possible.
Dude, I just found out that Funimations has exclusive animes now. I'm like, come on. I can't do this. I can't have, like, 10 different streaming services for my anime addiction.
Someone was like, on Twitter, was like, you know, I just wish there was a way where we could put all these pay channels together on one service. And someone replied, it's like, it's cable. It's called cable.
No, it's not. Cable doesn't handle the weebness.
I know, but it's getting to the point now where it's like, how much would you pay? How much, like, if you could get a slight discount and, like, pick your own channels, it's like a version of, like, almost like Trivago or Expedia or something like that, where it's like, all right, well, I'll give you this much money if I can just, like, subscribe to one service and get, like, you know, VRV, Funimation, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Disney Plus, then you got HBO Go, then you got the CBS streaming service.
Well, cable couldn't make good content. They got challenged and they got their asses beat by Netflix and stuff.
Right. And then, but that was also the thing too of like, you know, you would have to pay this much money if you, and it's like, well, oh, you want this channel that you really want? Then you have to pay for the more channels. And it's like, yeah, but I'm not, why do I have to pay for 150 channels when I'm only watching one of them?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm saying. Make it like almost like a, when you go to Chipotle and you just like, you just pay one price and they pull out you like, do you want a burrito or a bowl? And it's like, what meat do you want? They're not just forcing all the meat on you or forcing all the beans or whatever on you.
Now I want Chipotle, bro.
You're welcome. Oh, man.
My frozen burrito wasn't good enough to keep me keep me going.
You had to let it go?
I did let it go. Long time ago.
Your frozen burrito, huh? Get it?
Mm-hmm.
Get it.
Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha. I'm so funny. My name's Daniel. I'll be here all week, guys.
Yes.
Because I can't go outside.
Because I can't go outside. I was going to say, virtually tip your waiter or waitress. Oh, man. I was reading this thing. I hope it's true. Apparently, some company was offering a service where you could order food and have it delivered,
mm-hmm.
but it would be delivered by a stripper in Oregon. So, like, it's almost unbelievable until you realize that it's in Oregon, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But then I watched the movie Rocket Man, based on the life of Elton John.
Nice. How was that?
And so, dude, like, I was going to watch it by myself, and it started off, like, a certain way, and I realized it's probably going to be a musical, so I'm like, I'm going to watch this with my wife, because I want to get her opinion on it, too, because, like, I didn't know how much she knew about Elton John, and very similar to the Queen movie, as certain songs would come on, and she's like, wait, he does this song? I love this song.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I really like the way they told the story. Like, it starts off with him showing up in rehab, and so the story...
I said, no.
Exactly. And so the story is him basically relaying his life in rehab via flashback.
Hmm.
And it's funny because a lot of people were complaining that the actor that was picked for the role, the lead role, wasn't gay. And Elton John was like, yeah, but I handpicked him. I wanted him to play the role. Like, I didn't care. He's a good actor. And they're like, Elton John, we're sorry, but you just because you're gay doesn't mean you get to speak with
you a gay. You can't make movies. Just go back to playing your little piano, John.
Right. But, dude, he had a jacked up life.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I really liked the way they told the story, told the movie, because, like, as certain incidents would happen, they would break into the song that was inspired by that event. Like, there's a part where he first comes out to L.A. from England to do his first performance out here at the Troubadour, And his songwriter basically bails on him to go hook up with some chick. And mm-hmm. that whole incident is the inspiration behind the song Tiny Dancer. Hmm. So, yeah, that's and then the costumes on it, I mean, it's just the way they tell the story. It's almost, there's some parts that are like kind of fantasy, like his first concert at the Troubadour he's playing, and like it gets to a certain point where just like everybody starts floating, and it's supposed to symbolize just how amazing the performance was and how much it like lifted him up in the, I guess, the public's eye or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, at the beginning he was like, I'm an alcoholic, I'm addicted to cocaine, I'm a shopaholic, I have anger management issues, and there's problems with weed, and I'm a bulimic. And it's like, holy shit, did you just like hit every box on the list when it was supposed to say pick one?
Like, instead of pick one, he dragged the line down.
Yeah, he just did a select all or hit shift and selected them all. But yeah, it's a surprisingly good movie. Even if you don't necessarily like musicals, I found it to be more enjoyable than the Queen movie. Because, like, part of it was, you know, originally the Queen movie was supposed to be a Freddie Mercury movie. But the band was like, well, if you want to use our music, then you got to give us, like, basically creative control over the movie. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, well, we want it to be about us, not him. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't really say much because, you know, he's dead.
Yeah.
So Elton John, I guess, learned the lesson from that movie, and he made his own production company. And financed the movie himself and basically had his own say. So, and then in the Queen movie, Rami Malek lip sung all the songs. And this one, Taron Egerton, who the actor who played him is the main guy from like the Kingsman movies. He actually sang the songs.
Gotcha.
And he also made out with the dudes too. As we're watching, my wife's like, he's straight, right? I'm like, I think so. And he's like, because if he is, that might be awkward. I'm like, well, it can't be any more awkward than like a heterosexual like couple like making out that aren't couples, you know? Like there's an interview with Blake Lively talking about like her Ryan Reynolds, and she talks about how it's very hard for her to watch the Deadpool movie, the first one, because of like there's that scene where they go through the calendar and all the holidays and they're just boning. Oh, man. And then finally, the last movie I watched.
Things are tough.
Exactly. The last movie I watched last night was The Men in Black International. Or as some people like to call it, the unofficial sequel to Thor Ragnarok.
Dude, it's just so weird seeing him in this movie. It's just like...
Did you watch it?
No, I did not watch it. I don't watch movies anymore, man. I gave up on that.
See, you're going hardcore into the weeb territory, and I'm going back to my first love movies.
I guess. I don't know. Ever since I, like, got out of going to the movie theater, I just stopped watching movies. Because I don't watch them here at home.
Right. And for me, it's easier for me to watch a movie than it is for me to stream a TV, like, binge a TV show. Because I can watch at most two episodes at a time of a TV show, but I can watch a full movie.
Yeah.
So I lose interest in a TV show pretty quick. Like, I've barely finished the season of the Mayans, and I'm working my way through the Stumptown TV show, the one based on the Greg Rucka comic book.
Yeah.
And that because the last episode I watched on that was like the Thanksgiving episode, and so I have to catch up until like the beginning of March was when they finished the season.
Gotcha.
So I can watch maybe like two episodes of that a week.
Yeah. I feel like
even DVRing it where I can fast forward through all the commercials.
Gotcha. Yeah, I feel like once I get stuck on something, like whether it's an anime or a game, like that's all I want to do. So which makes it like hard. Like I have to be in between something to like break away. Even like trying to do chores, I have to be like I have to come up with like a game plan, like when I'm gonna do them, so I could get my fix on.
Right. That makes sense. I guess I'm the same way. Like, that's why I can't do TV shows, because it's like, wait, I got 12 episodes? You know what? I'll just watch one episode and go play my game. Or I can watch, it's like, okay, I'll watch this movie and I can go play the game. It's like, it's a unit of one as opposed to a unit of 12. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this movie basically bombed in theaters, and a lot of people were like, why did they put a woman in a man's role? Was one of the reasons why.
Or, you know, it's like the fourth movie of MIB, and it doesn't really have the main people in it.
Right, and that's the other, I mean, that was the more logical excuse. It's like, well, if I want to watch Men in Black, I watch it because of the interaction between, you know, Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones. That's like a big, that's like 80% of the movie right there.
Exactly.
Because even the third one wasn't that popular because it wasn't the main two. It was Josh Brolin and Will Smith.
Yeah.
Which is funny because it's like the whole like cancer of the MCU is taken over.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've mentioned five actors, and out of those five actors, four of them have been in DC, in Marvel movies, and one of them was in a DC movie. Right? Because Tommy Lee Jones was the drill. I just thought about that right now. Tommy Lee Jones was the drill instructor in Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Brolin was two. He was Thanos and Cable. Will Smith was Deadshot in the Suicide Squad. And then, you know, Valkyrie and Thor.
Yep.
Comic book movies are making every, like, eventually it's like the coronavirus. Eventually everyone's going to be affected. Like, were you in a DC movie, a Marvel movie, or both?
8 stages of comic book movies.
Right. But they brought back a couple of the original actors, like Emma Thompson. She was still the leader of the Men in Black. They didn't necessarily completely explain why Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones weren't there, but they alluded to it. I don't know. This movie was surprisingly good. I think it's not quite on the same level of like interaction between Tessa Thompson and Liam Hemsworth that there was between Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones, but it was pretty close. Like, it was very. If you like Ragnarok and their interaction there, then you'll like this movie.
Gotcha.
Because it was very similar, and I don't know, man. Like, just they didn't try to go over the top with the special effects. It fit with the Men in Black story. I don't know. It very much just felt like a Men in Black movie with different actors. It wasn't like they tried to change anything. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why it failed as bad as it did.
Yeah.
It definitely. It shouldn't. I wouldn't blame people for it not being as successful as like the Men in Black movies, but it should have, at least the later ones when they got more known. But it should have been up there with the first one as far as money wise.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't regret watching it. It wasn't a thing of like, oh yeah, I saw that. Now I don't have to, you know. Now I can say I saw it and I don't have to watch it ever again.
Fair enough. It's done. The pain is done.
And Liam Neeson is in it as well.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. Wasn't he like supposed to be like kind of like a higher up guy?
Yeah, he's basically the head of the London division.
Gotcha.
Which makes sense because he's British or Scottish or one of them. He's under the banner of the Queen's Empire.
He has a certain set of skills.
Exactly. So it's a fun movie. I mean, because that's the Men in Black movies. You're not supposed to watch those movies. It's like watching a Michael Bay movie and being like, wow. I didn't get anything intellectual out of that movie.
True.
It's just a big dumb movie with aliens and explosions.
Fair enough.
Right? And I had a good time. It was worth the value of getting that DVD from Netflix, like an old man like that I am.
You are right, an old man, sir.
All right, Weeb.
My turn?
Your turn, Weeb.
Oh, boy. So this week I watched the anime called 100, like 100 minus the 1. And basically, what 100 is, it is a weapon capable of fighting this alien creature that the team calls savages. So I originally thought it was going to be another one of those, like, guys can't use the suit thing, but that was incorrect. But basically, hundreds have, like, different variations, but it's like the robotic suits that you get, like, pilot. It feels like it's a very, it feels very close to that one anime that where that guy that could pilot the suit, he's like one of the only guys. It's like some kind of external armor. So it's another like typical mech suit kind of show. Of course, like like, he gets to the school and he gets challenged by the president, but nobody knows really who he is, but he's, like, super powerful, and then he basically almost destroys, like the school president, and he's only been piloting the suit for, like, 2 days. So it's, well, like...
Of course. I mean, that makes sense. It's because his penis is, like... There's an extra control that only his penis can work that women can't work because they don't have a penis. Is that how it works?
You know, exactly. so basically, it's semi-harem, but he actually, like, kind of concludes and he ends up, like, dating one of the girls, which was actually kind of like a surprise at the end, because I was like, oh my god, it has an ending. But of course, you find out that he's called a variant, and he has, like, savage blood in him, so that's why he's more powerful. And then, like, he had a tragic, like, childhood, and he met a bunch of different children when he was, like, younger, and he finds out, like, as he's helping certain ones at the school, it's like, oh my god, you're so-and-so? I can't believe it's you. And it's like, and of course, like, you're sitting there, and you're like, the little girl with silver hair is now the silver-haired girl at the school. Shocking surprise.
Right.
But honestly, I thought the anime was actually pretty decent. It was pretty funny. Fan service wasn't really there. So it was more of a tame anime. Actually has a decent kind of conclusion, I think, for the most part. So I would say definitely, for this one, I would just say 7 out of 10. It was a decent watch. It didn't get it didn't get boring at all in anywhere. So that's that. I know there's like a bunch of I'm about to finish like a bunch of different stuff, like the so and so on Funimation Hulu. With the girl with the shield, so she doesn't want to get hurt, so she levels up her defense. I think episode 12 comes out this week, and then Interspecies Reviewer, I think we're up to like episode 11, so it's like we're coming close to an end on a couple more animes.
Right, like I've only watched the first like 4 episodes of Interspecies Reviewer, and even the one anime that we did a couple weeks ago, this is how bad I am. Like, I've only watched the first couple episodes of Inspector.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've watched the first 4 of Inspector and the first 3 of O Maidens in Your Savage Season.
Fair enough, sir. Yeah, I started watching No Game, No Life. I was actually it's been on my backlog for a long time. Man, it's actually really good. Like, I'm halfway through it. I'm very impressed. I think it's just very clever and funny. And basically, it's about a brother and sister that get sent to another world. But in the other world, every conflict is decided by a game. So board game, card game, any kind of game. And so it's, of course, they're like game prodigies that never lose. So it's actually it's very different than a lot of other things, so I was very excited to finally rip the Band-Aid off and start watching that one.
So, like, you know how people talk about Monopoly and friendships and families? This is actually true. Like, if you rage quit Monopoly, you die in both inside and outside.
Well, people don't really die; they just lose the bet. Like, you have to wager something, and there's like 9 rules of the world.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you are playing a game for a conflict, there has to be an equal trade, equal in value, that they both have to agree to before you start the game.
See, this is why I like anime, because imagine like somebody going to a television studio, a streaming service like Netflix or a movie studio, and it's like, all right, here's the story. There's a group of kids that play board games. And what? They bet things when they play the board games. And the loser suffers the consequences. So they die? No, they just lose the bet. Is that pretty much, did I just pretty much give you the elevator pitch of the show?
Yeah, except you could bet for basically anything, including kingdoms, libraries, and turning girls into your pet dog for the day.
But still.
Just to name a few things.
But still, the point is that they're betting, like, things, not yes. dying. It's not like, you know, that one movie, The Box, that I can't believe got made. Remember that movie?
No.
Basically, this couple was given a box, and it's like, every time you open this box, you get a set amount of money, but somebody dies. And it's like, wait, like somebody I know? Like somebody I love? And it's like, no. Somebody I know? No. So every time I open this box, they get like $1 million, but some stranger that I've never met and have no idea who they are dies. And like, I think like somebody, like the Family Guy or somebody like that made fun of it, where like Peter or whoever it was just was like opening and closing the box almost as fast as they could.
Yeah. And they're like, whoa, stop! Stop, man, stop!
Even the person that gave him the box is like, jumped on, it's like, whoa, are you a monster? And it's like, you gave me the box and set the rules, like, you're the one that's the monster.
Oh, damn savages.
Exactly.
Savages.
So, Sean, I know you're a... your baby of a video game has been naughty lately.
My child brings me shame.
And your cow.
The game of Destiny just released its new expansion pack. There was a lot... the previous season, there was a lot of gripe and issues about how it was going. And it released the next season, and... so I guess the biggest thing is, Danny, before the season kind of released, I guess Bungie kind of like admitted like they didn't really – they tried a new business model for this year – for like this – if you call it a year, September to September. And it's, right. And they said it's not working well and they want to change it. So we already – I think kind of going in, it was already known like – it's already, like, everything's laid out already. They can't, they're not going to be able to start redoing a bunch of stuff, right?
Right.
So basically, like, Destiny's broken up into 4 seasons a year, and then during that season, they release different content in the year. So they released the newest one, and I guess, like, the gripe comes from, they're not even really trying at this point, it feels like. So you basically find out, like, the Cabal again, are sending this giant ship. They cut off all the engines, all the IT, everything, and they're just projecting it at Earth. And it's like, okay, gotcha. And it's like, all right, so we have to... so we're going to go to the war mine. So you know, you play the missions, you get the war mine power up, and it's like, okay, now the war mine's powered up. But it's 2 weeks, so you basically need to go do public events, grab things from the public event, and then power it up. And it's like, this is exactly what we did 2 seasons ago. Like, it's literally a reskin of the main purpose from 2 seasons ago. Of just doing public event things and then spending the power up, like, the different places. Like, it's just literally, like, a terrible reskin version.
Right. And, you know, like you were saying, that they said that we tried something new, and then they do this. If I played Destiny, I'd be like, wait, I thought you said you were making mistakes because you were going out on a limb. This seems like you're pretty close to hugging the trunk of the tree still, like... if you're going to make a mistake, at least have it be something different and not just, like, you know, painting a car, calling it a new car.
Yeah. Well, I think part of the problem is that Destiny 2 is too big of a game at this point. Like, there's way too much content that people don't play. Unless, like, you're a brand new person trying to level up, right?
Right. You know, I mean, it's kind of gotten too big again in a way, but you know, when they first launched Final Fantasy 14, it was so bad that they literally had a meteor crash into the world and blow it up. And then they, like, then it was shut down, and then they relaunched it, like, a little bit later, like, brand new. Like, they started from scratch, recoded everything, redid the combat system, redid the even the gathering system, the mining and fishing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The inventory system, they redid everything. Yeah. And they... The way they did it, and I've seen, there's videos on YouTube, but it's kind of eerie in a way, even though it's a video game, where people are gathering together and they're like as groups, mm-hmm. and you can see the meteor getting closer to the game, like the in-game world, and then it goes black and it's like the end. So it's like there's Destiny 1.0 and they didn't really go much beyond 1.0 and they blew it up, and then like the current, I mean not Destiny, I'm sorry, 14, Final Fantasy 14, and so the current Final Fantasy 14 is like started at 2.0.
Yeah. No, and I wonder, because, like, this is the spring event, and it's already, like, has negative talk. The only thing that seems to be going okay is they brought back Trials of Osiris, which is a weekend PvP event, but they just brought all they did was all the loot and armor is just reskins from the previous, when they had it in the beginning of the year, or when they first launched Destiny 2.
Right.
Or if it was in Destiny 1 and never made to Destiny 2. So it feels like they didn't even, like, create new loot, and then, like, all the loot and all the it stuff is all under Eververse, which is under paid walls, and so I think that's what the other part is even though, like, all these guns and cosmetic items are all armor, quote-unquote, and it's all cosmetic, like, there's no good loot in the, like, urn pile. It's all in the paid pile. So it's like you get shitty reskins for earned, and then but all the cool shit that you have to pay for. Which kind of, like, I get it, it's cosmetic, but, like, if you're not making some things that are, like, exclusive through playing, you're limiting the reason to play. Like, there has to be a balance,
right?
Between,
like,
cosmetic and that.
If you've been playing this whole time, like you have, you probably already have most, if not all, of the old stuff. So even make, like, a couple of those things earnable and a couple of those things viable. That would be different, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I was reading this thing on Reddit that they eliminated, like, there was a system that where you, like, earned something, like points or whatever, and they just eliminated it. What is that?
I'm not sure which one that is. I didn't play enough to notice it. I'd have to look it up. I know they're still doing the artifact to help bump up your level. So that's still a thing. I think one of the things... Oh, you know what it is? I think if you got enough experience to technically level up, I think they were giving you, like, a little loot pool thing. And I think they took away that.
Okay, because I know people were, like, raging about it. I've seen a couple different posts. I can't remember what it was. I don't play the game enough to know all the terms. But somebody was like, I feel like I've wasted my time for the last however many years earning all these points, and now they're gone.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? It was, I know what you're talking about now. So basically what they did is they were trying to make the emblems, the counters, better. And because of, I think, how they wrote the coding, so basically a lot of people lost, like, their game score. So, you know, when you do achievements and it tallies up all the different things you did, a lot of those got erased because now they follow under a different bucket. And so basically I think that's what people are upset about.
Okay, yeah, I think that, I remember people saying about, I remember emblems, like, was one of the, was, like, in there complaining about the emblems or earning emblems.
Yeah, they changed emblems so you could change it. So if you have a gambit emblem, you could change, like, the counter on it to, like, how many motes you deposited, which is a cool idea, but I think it was, like, handled poorly. But maybe that's because of the coding that happened. But I think they should have looked at different alternatives.
Right. And, you know, like, playing different things or just, like, living my life, I'm not really that mad when, like, a game developer or something like that, it's like, hey, let's try something new, and then it fails. But it seems like a lot of the stuff they're doing is staying safe and just basically rehashing old stuff and still failing.
It feels like they don't. I don't. Everybody's kind of like saying, does Bungie even have money to be an independent publisher?
Right. Did they bite off more than they could chew? Like, I think I mentioned it in a previous episode where I saw a tweet where the guy was like, I never thought I'd miss Activision.
Yeah. It's pretty bad. I mean, but that's seriously like what we're talking about at this point. But it's like, what is it? You know, did they make a plan and they're not going to deviate it from it and they're working on going from there? Or like, what's next? Like, we have another expansion pack for summer, and then what? Are we getting some kind of shitty year 4? Are we going to Destiny 3? I almost wonder if they were going to Destiny 3, to be honest. Did they, like, give up on Destiny 2 from a development standpoint to try to launch their own, like, rewrite everything?
Right, and that's why I brought up Final Fantasy 14, where it's like, it almost seems like it would be just in Bungie's best interest to almost, but the problem would be is they, you know, to start over, but then they would need to be more I think it would be better if they were transparent. And I think that's, out of all the Gamergate and whatever, like, just asshole behavior from gamers that have been going on for the last however many years now, the one constant complaint that seems to, like, actually be rational is, you know, in this era of social media, and there's no reason for, you know, you not to be able to get in contact with your fan base, just the transparency of what your plans are and what you want to do, what your goals are. And so if their goal is to basically just kind of ride the wave, like coast, like if they're just coasting on Destiny 2 and putting a lot of their resources into a third Destiny, would you, if they came out and said that, if they came out and said, hey, you know what, we know that Destiny 2 is kind of whatever right now and people are unhappy, but just know that we're working to make a new game that's our vision that's going to be better. Would that make you happy as a Destiny fan and player? Or would you be like, well, fuck Destiny 2, I'm not playing it ever again?
I mean, at this point, I'm not even playing Destiny, so...
They're not losing anything?
Yeah, I mean, they already have my... they already got my money.
Right. But I think, like, would it make you feel better then if they came out and said, hey, we got this back from Activision, we want to make it our own baby, we're going to make a third one, and we're working on that. Would that make you feel better? Or have you just given up so much at this point you don't care?
Oh, I would probably go back. I mean, I would, if they were making if Destiny 3 came out in September, I would definitely get it and see what the big, I would still play it, to be honest.
Would it make a difference if they, because from Destiny 1 to 2, everyone's like, oh man, I got all these awesome weapons, and then they did the whole story basically, like, story-wise, where Wyatt, you couldn't carry your stuff over because everything was just blowing the fuck up.
I mean, it's just a new game. I don't know. I mean, I feel like that's too much of a cop-out for people. Like, yeah, they're just going to magically figure it, take all this stuff and move it. Like, how are you not going to be way too overpowered for, like, the game?
Right, and that makes sense. To me, it made sense. It's like, wait. Like, you're going to bring this level 100 weapon into a level 1 zone. That doesn't make sense. And I don't play Destiny, but I really did appreciate the whole canon official story as to how you lost everything and why you couldn't carry anything over. Mm-hmm. That seemed to be the best thing about Destiny 2.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, are they done with the seasons? Because I know you said they had everything, like, pretty much laid out.
I think for this year, it's still all the seasons. But, I mean, I don't know. Even nobody in my clan is really even playing Destiny. Some people are doing trials, but that's about it. Everybody's jumping on that what's it called? Call of Duty.
Free game?
Free game, yeah.
I actually heard that wasn't bad.
Yeah.
I might have to download that on my X-Bone.
Maybe. I ended up downloading that stupid-ass giant game that's been around forever.
Shadows of the Colossus.
Yeah, I figured I'd play that and give a review, because I always make... I've heard mixed feelings about it, so I figured, why not? It's a free game, and then I haven't dug through the sale catalog yet to see if there's anything else. You know, I just finished a game for next week's podcast, and it's kind of like, do I go back and do all the side quests, or try to do more side quests, or what? Or do I just kind of let it be at this point?
Right, that's what, like, with Jedi Fallen Order, when I was playing that, I'm like, going through and getting all, trying to collect all the chests and explore all the zones, and I'm like, wait, I don't need to do this. Like, literally, the only thing that, this is one thing I liked about it, was like, they had the different chests lying around,
mm-hmm.
and they were all cosmetic. There was some, like, they had chests and they had secrets, and some of the secrets gave you extra health packs, but as far as like the chests in the area, it was just cosmetic, whether it was paint job for your robot or paint job for the ship, mm-hmm. or different material for your lightsaber handles. Like, you can build a different looking lightsaber.
Oh,
but
gotcha.
That was shit. So you don't need to do the side. You don't need to do all the collectibles if you don't want to, unless you want the trophy for it, I guess. But yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of stuff kind of going on. I know a lot of people are staying home. We aren't, so we're not gonna have as much time to waste on watching anime, playing video games, jerking off, and all the stuff the cool kids are doing.
Exactly. I mean, just doing the same thing as usual.
Yeah. You know what, Sean?
What?
I finished both my drinks. I'm feeling pretty good right now. I think we should go.
Yeah, you are. You got to look for drink number three, huh?
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Danny's got to go check and get another beer, but you can find us next week at the same time. Make sure you follow us on Facebook, Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. And you can follow us on Untapped. I don't think we'll go out and about, but maybe you could see what we're drinking from a bottle and can standpoint.
Bottles and cans, just clap your hands. Just clap your hands. Where it's at.
Where it's at. Where it's at. It reminds me of that Futurama episode. Where it's at.
Exactly. All right, everybody. Give us a review, because apparently that matters for the algorithms.
Danny, you matter. No, I'm just kidding. You don't matter.
I know. My mom tells me I don't matter to you, so it's cool. She's not as cool as your mom. At least your mom listens. Hi, Sean's mom and dad.
Fair enough. All right, everybody.
All right. Until next week.